Earlier this morning, we had two other guests in studio. Catherine Healy is a longtime advocate who worked to decriminalize the sex trade in New Zealand. She was recognized for her work with Queen Elizabeth, bestowing the honor of becoming a dame. She sat down with us along with Tracy Ryan of Harm Reduction Hawaii, a local advocacy group, to talk about the issues in the sex trade, along with Dame Healy's efforts to organize the New Zealand's Prostitutes Collective in 1986.
We formed our organization in 1987 on the back of concerns about the law and the way we were perceived as sex workers. And we also had grave concerns about public health and HIV and so on, and, you know, sexually transmissible infections. So we had an interest in organising, and, the Ministry of Health, as it was, or Department of Health at that time it was called, contracted with us to run an educative program throughout our peer groups.
And so you were here this week to put on a workshop, a presentation at the state capitol yesterday.
I've been speaking across the states about the decriminalization of sex work. In New Zealand, we decriminalized in 2003. And I say in a context, it was a limited model, but it's the most progressive model that we have to date in the world.
And so who attended yesterday's session?
Well,
Tracy, do you want to jump in here?
I have the sign-in sheet. So it was mostly public officials, people in public health, some people from the Capitol. There was someone from the Attorney General's office, someone from public safety. Mostly the people who are, not the ordinary general public, but mostly people in government and in different areas of public health and social service.
And the whole objective of this gathering was really to start the conversation about, what's been happening in New Zealand and what might happen here?
Well, yeah, we've been, this is an ongoing effort of bringing in speakers from offshore who are involved in the industry and have become advocates for change. And we have brought in five or six people over the last year and a half, and made a number of presentations. And as a result of that, there's become a group of sex workers who have begun to organize, because one of them came to the meeting and saying, look, I'm isolated. I'm working off the internet. There's no one I can talk to. I don't really have friends. I have no one watching my back, which is a bad situation for anyone to be in, particularly if you're in an industry where there are harms and dangers. And so that genesis is kind of now moving the ball forward in terms of public discussion. We want to generate as much civil discussion on these issues as we can. We know there are a lot of people who don't agree with some of the things we're saying, and some of them are very adamant about that. But there are also people who share our concerns, who may not be on our side, who are willing to talk civilly about moving forward, and those are the kind of people we're reaching out to.
And so can you talk about your work in New Zealand and maybe how difficult it was in those early days, and then to get this honor by the Queen of England?
Well, the work very quickly became about tensions between government departments. So we had, on the one hand, had the contract with the Department of Health to run an HIV prevention program. And on the other hand, we had the police arresting us for distributing health department sponsored condoms. So very quickly we had to focus the community in on the need to decriminalize sex work. So that became a big part. What we did was we built a coalition with different women's organizations, public health, people with an interest in human rights, and we had an eclectic focus group, including, Catholic nuns, and even the Salvation Army supported our move to decriminalise sex work. So it was very intense and very focused, and the Parliament passed it by one vote in 2003. And I guess, if I reflect on those early days when we were being arrested to the current time of being awarded the stay mod, I could not have predicted. A lot of people say the sky will fall in if you decriminalise sex work. What bollocks. That, what absolute nonsense, So in some ways, New Zealanders are very proud of the fact that I've been given this honour, because we're paving the way for, you know, respect for sex workers, human rights, protection from exploitation. We also swung the law around to protect minors. Instead of, you know, having them in a situation where they'd be precarious, we repositioned the law to protect them. So a lot of things were achieved when the politicians came together and put that vote forward.
And then how different is the system in New Zealand, let's say, compared to, you know, here in Hawaii or across the United States?
Across the United States, I've been very distressed to hear that there has been a pattern of arrests. New Zealand's a little nation. It's 4.5 million. Our biggest city is Auckland, which is the same population as Hawaii. 1.5 million. And, you know, the discussions I've heard across the country here have been similar, like all the same debates, you know, all the same concerns, etc. But I'm really struck that there seems to be such energy in the sex worker rights movement and you know, consensus that something needs to change. And, you know, that sex workers need these protections. If you're serious about anti-trafficking initiatives, this is the way to do it. You'd be hard-pressed to find people in New Zealand who would say, let's wind back the clock and reposition ourselves a la United States. You know, people are totally in favour, I think, now of having decriminalised sex work.
And Tracy, weigh in on this. So what are your thoughts about that? Do you think it's going to be an easy road?
No, but it is a road, and whether the road is easy or hard, you just put your nose down and you take the road. And I've been working on this issue for 22 years, so it's not new to me. The opposition, the nature of it has changed. When I got involved back in the middle 90s, most of it was community concerns about visible prostitution in their neighborhoods, in Chinatown and Waikiki. That was the issue. Now it's more that, oh, well, people are arguing that if we have a more legal system for consenting adults, then that means there'll be more sex trafficking, which I'm not exactly sure how that logic follows. But if you read, you know, the writings and stuff from these people who are advocating, you realize very quickly that that's not really their issue at all. Their issue is that they feel that the existence of prostitution and some other things like stripping and adult anything is bad for the women's community, and it makes men feel that they have the right to women's bodies, that women can't have equality. And so those concerns trump the harm that's done by the laws which are being enforced against individual women in the sex trades. And I feel, in terms of the way that the United States is supposed to be set up, that individual rights are supposed to be respected. And any kind of great moral agenda that anyone has, whether they call it Christianity or feminism, shouldn't be allowed to harm people who aren't doing anything other than consenting acts of adults.
And we've been, watching the headlines across the country, really, you know, from Florida, where you've, you know, the dragnet has netted some big fish and big names, to here in Honolulu, where the city prosecutor's office is cracking down.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in terms of the Florida thing, this is another of a series of highly publicized police operations. There was one in Kings County, Washington. There have been ones in Vancouver and otherwise, where they came out with big announcements that they were busting these great trafficking things and blah, blah, blah. Where, you know, shortly thereafter, when the evidence came out, there was no trafficking. But the press has spent a lot less time reporting on what actually happened when the evidence came out than what all these police grandstanding was. They haven't found sex trafficking in Florida, but they're still cracking down. And they didn't find it in Kings County, but they still spent a bunch of pretty harmless people to prison.
And then here in Honolulu?
We had the Alun farm labor case, as many of us remember.
Right.
Where, you know, this was a big, you know, human trafficking case, and when it get to court, and the prosecutor, it came out that their chief witness for the prosecutor had lied, and he changed his lie when he realized they couldn't threaten him with prison because it was ex post facto, it was prior to the offense. He changed his story, and that case was dismissed. So all these other elements of this case, when you looked at the actual evidence, were different than what was being reported by law enforcement. So we get a problem with people in law enforcement who are getting a big feather in the cap for breaking a trafficking thing because it's so they're so rare. Right. In terms of prosecution.
And you're tracking what's happening also with the prosecutor's office and the bus there?
Yes, we are very concerned that there is no apparent reason that this is happening, and we'll be following this story as it develops. But the statistics we have from HPD indicate they've made no arrests in the last 2 years for anyone under this trafficking law. FBI statistics indicate two people in the last 2 years, and even by the prosecution's admissions, there are no evidence of sex trafficking they found in any of these busts. So this doesn't have anything to do with sex trafficking. So what exactly is the motivating factor for spending all these resources? Right. That we have to find out.
And so, and what are your thoughts as you go from, you know, city to city and you see headlines like this in the news?
I am relieved. We don't have this model. It's dysfunctional. That we have decriminalized sex work, and I want to explain, you know, that decriminalization isn't, you know, it's about positioning sex workers as a part of society. It's not about putting them outside, and so it's not that we don't have regulations. We certainly have a model, you know, a framework that we recognize sex workers' work, and we allow for operators of brothels, they can be held to account. We had a famous case where a sex worker was awarded $25,000 for being sexually harassed verbally, not physically, by her boss. So she took that case to a human rights review tribunal who had a hearing, and she was awarded $25,000, and the operator of the brothel was instructed to have sexual harassment training, which, you know, is what you would do in other workplaces. So our relationship with the police is much better. They would not wish to see a return to the bad old days where they used to register our names, intrude on our privacy, and arrest us was, you know, the ultimate kind of thing that they did against us. So, you know, the model, I'm pleased we have it. We haven't got everything we'd like. You know, we'd like to see anti-discrimination legislation. We also have a clause in the legislation that says you cannot immigrate to New Zealand with the intention of being a sex worker, so that in and of itself is quite discriminatory. So if you're packing your bags, think again if you're going to come to New Zealand and be a sex worker. But in the main, we have a very, very solid model and 17 years of it.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and, you know, it hangs together.
That was New Zealand sex trade advocate Dame Catherine Healy and Tracy Ryan of Harm Reduction Hawaii talking with us about issues around a move to decriminalize the sex trade.